on the Koshcast, we look back at Canada's run in the Gold Cup as they pass the Honduran test but ultimately suffer from laryngitis. Round up any latest transfer madness, by which I primarily mean make fun of West Ham, and of course, where would we be without Moomoo of the Week? We'd be up a tree without a Moomoo, of course. All this and a couple of exciting announcements to come. Hold on to your hats. Hello and welcome to the Koshcast on underthekoshblog.com and at under_thekosh on Twitter. My name is Alex. With me, Bernie and Mohanad.
Yeah.
Happy to be back.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, it's been a while since we did a regular, I guess, pod.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been interviews, it's been little things here and there. I think you had like this recap on where you read articles out for us.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
You know, doing a pod week in, week out, it takes a lot out of you. We need a little bit of a break.
Does it really take a lot out of you?
Alex, our listeners think that it does, okay?
This is a major production.
Fair enough. No, it's true. We've got some more interviews and stuff to come. We'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
But, you know, there have been things happening.
Some things. More things in, like, the last month.
Yeah.
So,
do you want to start with the Gold Cup?
Sure.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Does anyone know the national anthem? Should we sing that?
No.
Oh, Canada?
That'll do.
Yeah.
Done. Sorted.
I think it was more like he's asking, oh, Canada? let's talk about Canada a bit before, because, I mean, they're not in the tournament anymore, obviously, but we can go through kind of how they did.
Yeah. I wish they were in the tournament.
They did. I mean, I want to say better than expected, but they did okay.
I think they did fine.
Did they really do better than expected? Because Jamaica should not beat Canada.
I'm not sure about that.
I thought they were favorites. So, anyway, context. They got to the quarterfinals. They played Jamaica, lost 2-1, I believe it was. I just think maybe it's a coaching thing, but Canada has better players than Jamaica. When you talk about Laren, talk about Akindele, talk about Arfield, you know, Hoylett even. There is not... I know what you're going to say. But there's no Jamaican player anywhere near as good as Junior Hoylett anyway. So I just don't understand why they lost this thing.
I'm not sure. I thought Jamaica were well organized. Physically, they were monstrous.
Yeah,
they absolutely beasted the Canadian players in that respect, in terms of pace and aggression. And so Canada got caught in the break, which was what was going to happen. They actually dominated the game. They had a lot of possession. They had a lot of the ball. But they just got caught on the break
a
couple of times.
They were having a kick-out or something?
A who?
A kick-out.
Do we have those here?
Yeah, a kick-out.
Yeah.
What, we don't have kick-outs?
We do.
Oh, okay.
It's everywhere.
Mohanad was about to leave and check.
Yes, like, he really was. But I'm just saying, I think since we came to Canada, right, last 10 years, this to me is the best group of Canadian players I've seen in that time. Even the guys play for Toronto FC, you know, we have talked about Osorio, talking about Ashton Morgan, guys like that. These guys are pretty good football players. I just don't understand what Jamaica has to offer in comparison to Canada.
I still think that Bernie's right, though, in the sense that this is probably the best crop, but we're also seeing probably some of the best football we've seen from a Canadian national team.
Yes.
Now, yes, it wasn't good enough to beat Jamaica on this day, but in general, it does make sense. This is the best crop. We are probably seeing the best football. Mm-hmm. The question is just how far can they take it?
Yeah, but I think what we're also seeing is that the manager, Zambrano, has actually come in with some new ideas. I mean, for a start, Canada in the past, whenever I've seen them play, have always been very defensive, very reactive, very like, we don't think we can win.
Mm.
Whereas this team has actually been front foot. We're going to retain possession. We're going to play to win, which is a nice change. But he's also picked different players like Piet. And I don't know, it was a refreshingly young and kind of exciting squad. That said, should we talk about Kyle Laren?
Sure.
Go ahead, Alex. I don't want to do it.
Why?
Because I really like him.
Well, yeah.
I really do. And I don't want to have to
talk. It's not his fault.
It kind of is.
Is it? Yeah?
Well, okay.
Well, no.
Part of it isn't. So, okay, for context, the group stage, Canada did well. Beat French Guyana.
This hurts.
Alfonso Davis, a couple of goals. Drew 1-1 with Costa Rica. It's a good result.
Yeah.
I'll take that, you know.
Drew 0-0 with Honduras. Not bad either. All the Palacios brothers and stuff.
By the way, this is a Honduras that beat Canada a few years ago 8-0 or something like that in World Cup qualifying.
Yes.
So to draw with this team, let's just say this is an upgrade.
It will do. But so up front in all of those games was Lucas Cavallini, who plays for Peñarol. He's a good striker, hold-up man, links the play very well. Kyle Larin, Canada suspended him because of his DUI, I think. Mm-hmm. And so, Bernie, just tell us about this rule in the Gold Cup.
So, after the group stages, every team is allowed to make, I believe, 6 changes to the squad. So, 6 go and 6 can come in to replace those people. It's a ridiculous rule, but the Gold Cup has to make things interesting somehow.
Right.
So, that's the rule.
Okay. So, Canada only made one change. It was bringing Kyle Larin into the squad, sent Raheem Edwards home, who hadn't really featured very much. And that's fair enough. He's probably, you know, on paper, your best striker. Bring him into the squad. Fine. Except they started him in the quarterfinal against Jamaica when there was a team unity there already from the first 3 games. There was a team that was playing well and doing the job that was required. Larin comes in and he was terrible.
Well, he wasn't the Sammy Kedira of the Canadian national team.
Very much no. In any
to form. Be honest, how could he not have been? Like you said, there was team unity, there was a rhythm, there was something going on there. Maybe he comes off the bench in that game or something like that. Maybe that makes sense.
I know he was suspended for the group stage, but I felt, just outside of football, I felt on a principle level they could have just left him out of the whole tournament.
Yeah.
Anyways, like regardless of whether, even if he had come in and played well, I just thought on principle you leave him out the whole tournament and then you start fresh again next time.
I think that's a legit point.
I agree with that. If I play devil's advocate, you're Canada, right?
Sure.
And this is Kyle Larin. I'm just saying, you know, like we are Canada because we're all citizens now. And this is Kyle Larin. This is the best thing to happen to Canadian football, men's football at least, in the last, 5 years? So,
I guess,
and he's been linked with going to, you know, he was linked with replacing Lukaku, even though that was not a real thing.
And that was,
but that was the link.
On the other hand,
have any Canadian player been linked that way in a long time? No. So,
and Lukaku got replaced by Rooney. So,
yeah.
But I mean, but the thing is with Larin is that he's a good MLS striker. He scores goals for Orlando. But his record for Canada is pretty horrendous.
Mm.
And I haven't seen him play that many times, but I've heard from other people that he doesn't play well for Canada. So either there's a system thing or he's not buying into it. I'm not sure what the issue is, but
either way, game ended, 2-1 Jamaica?
Yeah.
That's Canada out at the quarterfinals. I guess semis were, US versus,
Costa Rica. So US beat Costa Rica 2-0. Yep. And the other semi is actually tonight, Mexico-Jamaica. So probably a US-Mexico final, which will be fun.
I mean, that's kind of what I was expected anyways.
That's what the Gold Cup is for.
Yeah.
It's actually just cannon fodder until USA play Mexico.
And then the USA play Mexico in the US, but there's more Mexican fans in the stadium. It's the same thing every time. Yeah.
It's actually really appropriate because, you know, a couple hundred years ago, the US saw Mexico and they were like, I like all that gold that you have, so let me buy most of you.
I was wondering where he was going with that. I really was. But on the Gold Cup, it's always played in the US. You know this, right? Like, it's never played anywhere else.
Isn't it?
It's not even played in Mexico.
We talked about
this.
Played in,
I looked at the last 5 of them.
Yeah.
Only one of them was US and Canada.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That was it. Like, it's so unbelievable.
I think I brought that point up recently, I think a few weeks ago, and the question was like, why?
Money.
Yeah, but
no other place you're going to get as many people. Like, there were 45,000 people who watched the first USA game against Panama.
Right.
Like 45,000 who watched that dross. And apparently there were a lot of Panamanians in there as well. Yeah. So,
I mean, I think it should be hosted in French Guyana next time.
Yeah. Oh.
We'll get to that.
We'll get to them?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
We'll keep that for Mumu because
that's brilliant.
All right.
Fair enough.
Anything else about the Gold Cup?
I think that's it. Although, as it stands, Alphonso Davies, 16-year-old Canadian, is still top scorer with 3. That's kind of cool.
I expect Jozy Altidore and Clint Dempsey to beat that. By the way, Clint Dempsey, now US record goal scorer.
Really?
Oh, beat Landon Donovan.
Yeah, so I think he tied it because he scored 1 yesterday. He was 1 behind.
Actually?
Yep, he scored
that's
1
like
and made 1 yesterday.
50-something goals?
That's a lot.
He has tied him now.
Damn.
Yeah, so he'll probably
Dempsey.
Beat him.
Dempsey.
Nice. Yeah. Well, that's good for him. He's always been, I guess, a likable player. He's been quite... He's technical. He's that
he's,
guy that
he's
looks
a good,
good.
Player.
Yeah.
I remember he came out from a heart condition. And the flip side of Canada is those are 2 guys they drafted into their squad after the group stages and they made the difference
in
the semifinal.
Right. Which is, they make use of that rule, yeah.
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 The best thing about Dempsey for me is that he raps. You ever heard it?
I don't want to.
No, you do. You really do.
He has a really weird accent as well. Like, it's not, but the thing about the whole, like, also the Gold Cup is that it does run during MLS season, which is most of these tournaments, which is a bit of a shame because, I mean, we've seen its effect on TFC, the draw yesterday against Colorado, I think it was.
Yeah.
No Altidore, no center
Bradley.
I mean, Edwards is back, I think, but I don't think he played that game. So, yeah, you see the effect of these tournaments on MLS sides. But
by the way, this is a brilliant segue to talk about African Cup of Nations.
Yeah,
because
we could.
It was being played in January, which was a huge drag. You always had these issues between the club and the player and the country because January, February is crunch time, especially Sweetie Bum time in England and all that. Now they've moved the Africa Cup of Nations to the summertime.
They just made a decision, I think, a few days ago, two days ago or so. So now it's going to get played in June and July, regular, every odd year. So that's good. They also increased it to 24 teams. The issue is obviously, like you said, with the European clubs is that, you know, you get the top players from Ivory Coast, Nigeria, sometimes Egypt, but mostly Ivory Coast and Nigeria, where they just miss out on really crucial parts of the tournament, of you know, the club season, and these teams usually make it quite far. So it was, I mean, I think we're going to write something about it this week on, we're going to write an article about it, just kind of who's affected the most. I mean, we talked about Mane and Salah. And
I was going to say Mane, look at what happened to Liverpool, But I think the real issue and the real reason why it was in January is because January is dry season across most of Africa. So you're not going to have games, you know, rained in or anything like that. June and July is, especially West Africa, very, very, it's like monsoon season. So I don't know how they're going to manage
that.
It's very hot.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, does that geographically, does that change who the host nations are likelier to be?
I don't know.
I don't think it works. I don't think they're going to... I mean, sure,
North Africa should be.
But you're looking at, you know, World Cups and Qatar. You're looking at, like, recently, actually, up till last weekend, I was always kind of light on the whole, oh, the European players are going to go play in 40 degrees or 50 degrees.
Mm.
And I was always one of those people who was like, just suck it up and play. Like, it's not a big deal.
Man.
Until literally last weekend, I went to play football like noon. It was like 35. And it's not like that I'm as fit as them or they're as fit. No, it's just the difference. Like, you're used to this Canadian weather or the English weather or the European weather.
Because when you're playing
like,
in Oman,
I can't.
You played in Oman in 40 degrees and you're thinking, what's wrong with these guys?
Yeah,
I don't understand.
It's not a big deal. Yeah, I think it's going to be quite
but
tough.
On the AFCON, the first one's going to be hosting Cameroon. And Cameroon, they experience rainy season in June and July. So I'm very interested to see how this works out with their infrastructure system.
The Qataris are like, don't worry, we're inventing clouds.
True. That's that. What's next? Transfers?
Transfers or Mumu?
Yeah, we could do Mumu.
Let's
break
it
up.
Yeah.
I be Mumu. One thing we are no sha, Mumu no fit sleep forever. One day Mumu go wake up.
This week on Mumu, actually, we haven't done Mumu in a while. Let's remind people what that means. Bernie introduced us to the word Mumu, which is in Nigerian
Pidgin
English,
yep.
Which means a fool, an idiot.
Yep.
And we always pick someone in world football of the past week that has done something, you know, similar.
Off the pitch.
So, we haven't done Mumu in the week in a while. We have got two Mumus. The first one is light. It's light. Chesney just moved to Juventus to be Buffon's heir.
Arsenal Mumu?
Sure. Yeah, definitely. First game, he's sitting on the bench. People are, you know, wanting to see what he's up to. And they get his name spelt wrong in the back of his jersey. Not, you know, the hardest thing to do because it is a very... he's been there for 11 years and I still can't spell his name.
That's why you call him Chez.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you'd think officially you'd get it right on a jersey.
So here's my question. This is his official jersey, right?
Yeah.
And he wore it on his back.
Yes.
Okay. So my question is this. Don't they have a template that they use to just like print, stamp the name on it?
Yeah.
How did they get that wrong?
And wouldn't he see it? I guess it was just too late. I guess it was just like, well, we got to get out now. Like, Also, the funny thing is they didn't get the hard part wrong.
Exactly.
The SZCs.
Yes.
Not that part. It's just they added an E at the end.
Did they sign the wrong player? Is there another guy with an EY that they were expecting and then Wojciech shows up?
Imagine.
I mean, I think they're still getting the better player. I doubt that unknown dude is better.
Yeah. What was his medical like? You know, he's been smoking, so he probably had black lungs. Like,
yeah,
you know what?
It's Italy. It's fine.
Yeah, and he's also up against like a 40, you know, a 67-year-old Buffon.
Fine. Yeah. Are you in better shape than the 41-year-old? Yes. Okay.
If Nainggolan couldn't do it, so can you.
Exactly.
At Roma as well.
Exactly.
So what's our main Mumu?
Oh man.
Who wants to do this one?
So Bernie and I will share it.
Okay.
We touched on French Guiana earlier.
Yes.
And we're gonna try and maintain some composure throughout this. Okay. So before the tournament, they said they were going to register Florent Malouda in their squad.
Yes.
Florent Malouda, who has how many caps for France?
80.
80, right. So you can't do that, right?
So,
you
so
can't
wait, play. Why Florent Malouda? Is he originally from there?
He was born in French Guiana before moving to France.
Right.
But French Guiana is a territory of France anyway, so it all works.
Okay.
But the idea was he's been playing for French Guiana in unofficial matches. And there's a tournament called the Caribbean Cup.
Okay, sounds very unofficial.
And that is a way that you can qualify
it's like
for the Gold Cup.
Unofficially.
Yes.
Yeah. Jack Warner just threw it together.
Exactly. Yeah. Probably did. But here's the important part. The Caribbean Cup is not a FIFA-sanctioned tournament.
Amazing.
But you can get qualification to a FIFA-sanctioned tournament
by
through
winning
this unsanctioned tournament.
Makes no sense.
Right.
Okay.
So because of that, they can play an unregistered player because it doesn't matter. It's not a FIFA tournament. No one cares.
Right. But once you reach the FIFA sanctioned tournament, you can't play that dude anymore.
Right. Yes.
So they say, we're going to register Malouda. FIFA's like, no, you're not. French Guiana are like, yeah, no, we're going to register Malouda. So FIFA are like, well, okay, but if he plays 1 minute of any game, you forfeit that game 3-0.
So right. French Guiana go, well, if we were allowed to play him in the Caribbean Cup, which qualifies you for the Gold Cup, then we have every right to play him, who they made their captain, FYI.
Of course.
In the Gold Cup.
Right.
First game of the Gold Cup, they lose to Canada.
They didn't play him.
They didn't play him.
Yep. They, you know, just worried that they get disqualified. Yep.
Then they were like, oh man, we're about to go out of this tournament. We need to bring in Florent Malouda.
Wait, so they would rather not take the chance of losing the second game, but play Malouda, hope for a win, and still get disqualified.
Yep.
Yeah.
So it's just on principle.
So it's on principle. Yeah. And you know, this way they can like point to the big kind of power and say, oh, we were wronged.
Yeah.
Right. Did we by any chance know how they did in their second game?
Well, they it was a 3-0 loss. Default.
Well, but how did the game go? Do we know?
Oh, no idea.
I mean, I think I know they lost.
Right, okay.
But it wasn't by much.
So Malouda isn't that savior they thought he would be.
But apparently this was one of his greatest accomplishments of his life.
How old is Malouda now?
Like 37, yeah.
Yeah, he's an old
I mean, he was already slow at his prime at 26.
80 caps. He was a great player. But 80 caps,
almost,
I didn't even know
when
those happened.
He almost started every game in 2006 World Cup.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
When France had that really old squad, you know, Henri Zidane, Malouda.
Yep.
That's incredible. So the whole thing is just messed up.
It's amazing. And then they went on to lose the third game 3-0 to Costa Rica.
Without him.
You play whoever the hell you want in the Caribbean Cup to qualify to the Gold Cup. But once you're there, then you got to show us paperwork.
So someone was... Yes. And someone was saying, French Guiana did a calculation. We will never be here again. So he might as well make a splash and just throw Florent Malouda in there.
So
what the hell?
Technically, you pay Messi enough money.
Yeah.
He could play for you in the qualifiers.
Yes.
And then you just drop him for the tournament.
Why not? I think they should get a classic team together.
Yeah.
Zidane.
Honestly, at this point, like the Legends game should just be French Guiana.
Do FIFA football rules apply in the Caribbean Cup? Or can you like maybe run with the ball in your hand? Like, it just feels like you might as well take it as far as you want. Like, this is not FIFA sanctioned.
Yeah.
I'm not following the rules.
Go for it, man.
Yeah. Oh, man. This is... I think that... It's one of the most elaborate, complete moves we've had. I like it.
Yes. Top 5 for sure.
Yeah. A lot of people involved in that.
Happy Momo. One thing we all know, Sha, Momo no fit sleep forever. One day, Momo go wake up.
Transfer time now. Bernie's laughing.
I haven't recovered. Off air, Alex called Junior Vinicius. Junior Vicious. And I spat all my water out.
Yes, it's all over Shay's arm.
Oh, we're still wiping it up.
And on the thread, Mohan usually says, I spat when he finds something really funny. This actually happened.
Actually.
Yeah.
Anyway.
By the way, Rishay is in the room.
Rishay. Right. Welcome, Rishay.
You don't do your own intros, Rishay.
I just had to, you know.
Okay. Yeah, it's true because we did move on without doing it.
And Rishay's eating for a minute. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Let's start with something terrible.
Yeah.
Like the Naby Keita
situation. All right. Let's start with that.
Sure.
So Liverpool just had a £66 million bid knocked back. And apparently they're going to come back with a better bid. I think this is crazy, but Alex thinks it's okay.
I don't think it's okay. It's obviously crazy money. But like at this point, the money doesn't matter. The Premier League clubs have it. Everyone else knows they have it, so they jack up their price. Like, it's just irrelevant.
Well, I mean, I think we were talking about this. Of the top 10 most expensive summer Premier League signings, 8 of them have been this summer already, and we're not even done.
Of course.
I think 4 or 5 are keepers and defenders, which is insane. I mean, we could talk about City and how much they spent on defenders recently. I mean, Stones, 50 million. Walker, 50 million. Mendy, 52 million, apparently. Danilo, 26. Ederson, the keeper, 34. They've signed in excess of 300 or 400 million just defenders since 2014.
I was going to say, don't forget 35-odd for Mangala, 30 for Otamendi.
It's around 400 million in defenders.
On defenders, and none of them have been any good.
And they,
and they still don't have a defense.
Yeah, it's insane. It's insane the amount of money that's being splashed around. We'll talk about other clubs.
You know, as we're talking about this, and for the record, Navigator is not a good signing. But anyway, I know, I'm just playing with you. But on City's defense, so Pep's doing what we said he needed to do: clear out the defense because they had a bunch of draws. And bring in new guys. He has pretty much brought in a whole new defense, except for the center backs, because I think it's going to be Company.
Well, it's going to be Mendy, Walker on the wings, and then it's going to be maybe
Company and Stones.
Company, Stones, and
Otamendi.
How many is he playing?
Well five. Assuming he plays,
he does all sorts of things. I mean, the thing is, you could see the three of those center backs and then the wing backs. That could be a thing. But then you've also got 15 attacking midfielders to try and work into the team too. So
my question is, I think Kyle Walker is a good defender. I'm not sure he's a good Pep Guardiola defender unless he has some interesting plan. But that's a good defender. And let's just say the money's irrelevant. 50 million on itself sounds crazy, but we'll leave that alone. Good defender. Mendy, good defender for a season. So I'm not sure about Mendy. I think Company coming back, if he's as good as he could be, brilliant.
Sure, but you can't rely on him.
No, you can't.
Yeah.
Stones and Otamendi is still a bit of a question mark for me, but how much money are you going to spend?
Surely they have one more guy.
Center back? Right?
Yeah.
Mangala is still there.
He's been filling in at left back this whole summer and been looking like trash.
Right. I mean, his looks are not important. City have also signed Bernardo, or whatever, Bernardo Silva.
Yeah.
They've also signed anybody else? I think it's just up top, it's just Bernardo. Gabriel Jesus is not a new signing, but they have him now kind of really into the team.
Yep.
The keeper, Ederson, who has a neck tattoo, by the way. You see it's ugly.
He conceded quite a bad goal in one of the friendlies. I think it was not a goal, it was a Lukaku goal. He rushed out,
And Lukaku got ahead of him, or he mistimed him.
No different than Bravo so far.
Yeah.
But I just want to get your guys' take on the Danilo transfer. I mean, obviously, a club of City size needs two right backs.
Yeah.
So that's fair enough.
Just not one who's Danilo.
Well, this is my question. I mean, if Real Madrid are willing to let him go for 26 million, which,
you go back a year though, or whatever. Like, Madrid are willing to let him go now because he failed at Madrid.
Yeah.
But the fact that they signed him initially, clearly they thought he has I mean, sure, you don't always, it's hit or miss, but clearly they thought he has something in him. When we were looking at him just after he signed for Madrid, obviously highlights and stuff, but he looked physical, he looked strong, he looked like he had power, and it just felt like maybe the pressure at Madrid was too much, maybe he needed to be way too technical than he is, maybe he's not that technical, but I think he can still do a job, and 26 million in today's market is basically free.
I agree with that, but we know he's going to be a backup, or he's going to rotate with Kyle Walker, one of the two things. So in that sense, I understand it. It's fine. You needed a squad player. But Danilo has already failed at Real Madrid. And I get it. Backup. But are there not other options like we discussed on the throwdown? Serge Aurier is a crazy person. But you get him for less
than
Danilo.
But does he
want
to sit on the bench? Like, that's a thing.
Also, with him, you have to pay the transfer fee and bail.
Yes.
That's and what? I thought Bale like the player. I was like, why? How are they even related?
I just think even if you went to a lower league club lower level club in the Premier League and picked off someone from one of those clubs, it's a lot better than Danilo.
Or, are you ready for this? I mean, this is scary.
I'm not sure I'm ready for this.
Or they can maybe try someone from the academy.
Yeah.
Ooh. Horror movie.
Famous academy with a 7,000 seater stadium for nothing.
I mean, imagine. I mean, Pep already came out saying none of them are good enough. Like, he literally came out and said, like, they asked him about how are the academy players doing. He's like, none are good enough. None will play.
Wow.
Straight up.
I mean, he also had like a fairly good point about the kind of reserve league and how useless it is. It doesn't like build anyone's kind of game
because
it's not competitive. So he's like, basically, we have to send everyone out on loan.
Yeah, I mean, this is not La Masia. Like, I'm not sure what he wants, but like,
but even La Masia is not very good right now.
Not anymore.
Well, it's the world's most expensive academy, isn't it? So like, you should think that some results would be produced after a while.
Yeah, but does that not make you think that they're not doing something right? And the flip side is, you look at United's academy. They actually get beaten up. by City's academy in when they played like 5-1, 6-1. They lost twice last season. But Rashford, Lingard, there are guys who at least are squad players, and even at City could be squad players.
Then you have Chelsea.
So I don't understand.
Then you have Chelsea. You can't even put 11 together in the reserves league because they're all out on loan.
Yeah.
So but they win the FA, the Youth Cup every year.
I think as far as backups, he could find something.
So what we're saying is City need to sign Borthwick Jackson or whatever his
name is. Quack.
Yeah. All right. Going the other way out of City is Kolarov to Roma for 4.5 million. I'm not really sure why they want him because he's a busted flush. But Mohamed, you said he had a good signing video?
Yeah, they had a great... Roma's been very creative on their English account recently. They're trying to unveil players in creative ways. They did it with Kolarov where they kind of just sat him down in a press room with the director who is about to do the video. And he's just telling him about, okay, you ready? You're going to come out of this helicopter. You're going to jump out. You're going to have, you know, this bag on your head. And then this crazy guy dressed as a cow is going to come out. And just Kolarov just sitting there like stone-faced, white hair. Just looks unimpressed. And then at the end, the guy goes, okay, you ready? And he goes, no. And just walks away. It's quite good. It's quite creative.
On the deal itself, I'm not too down on it. I've been very harsh towards Kolarov in the past. I think he's not that great. But 4.5 million in this market, after the deals that they've made, selling Rudiger and I can't remember, there was another guy that
Salah.
They sold for Salah. They've made a lot of money. And Kolarov at that level,
he might be enough.
I think he's old enough
at
for what they need.
At that level.
Well, wow.
Roma are not very good.
Yeah, but they're
in Champions
League, right? They're in Champions League.
Well, so there's also different expectations in this area. I think that the pace is less.
Right.
The physical aspect of it is also less. So Kolarov, in a sense, is stepping down from
but
what he's being asked to do. Sure.
He did
I am not
from,
surprised Richey had a
He
had
did
a
come from Serie A. So he knows the league. He knows how to play there.
Lazio. Was it Lazio?
It was Lazio.
Ooh.
Yeah. So he knows what he's doing.
Well, that's
worth it. I never even
that's worth it for the narrative.
Yeah.
Lazio seems to suit him better. We'll leave it there. Roma also signing Grégoire Defrel from Sassuolo. He's a decent striker. I think he's back up to Dzeko, so... Another squad player. Monchi is like doing some serious supermarket sweeping.
Well, that's
just like players out.
That's
players
why
out.
They
some
got
bargain
him.
Hunting.
Yeah.
Seems like.
Gonalon, Maxime Gonalon.
Oh,
that's a good.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
cool.
That's a good.
For like 4 million again, 5 million.
Yeah.
So
they finished third this season.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
100%.
Well, let's. What were you going on? I just wanted to talk about Milan since we're in Serie A.
Okay, do that, and then we're going to go on to the fun.
We can just say.
Yeah, then we
can
go to the Premier League. So there's a new team in Serie A this season called AC Milan. I'm really excited to see what they do because...
They just beat Bayern 4-0.
Yeah, so they started their professional footballing career off the flying start.
Great news.
I have a close friend that's a Milan fan. They're what's the saying? I don't know. When they're not that popular, dime or whatever, a dozen or whatever. I don't have a lot of Milan friends, but this guy's just like, he's going crazy. Like, I can't believe the signings we're making. I'm really happy. Like, it started all the way back when they got the striker from, I think it was Benfica.
André Silva.
Baka.
Baka's leaving, but André Silva is there. And then they started making some really good signings.
This ain't Kebby.
Yeah.
Kessie, sorry.
And then the crazy one with Bonucci. That was just, I mean, again, we talked about this a week ago. If someone had said Bonucci was going to leave Juve to captain Milan, we'd be like, you're insane. Just, you know, check yourself in somewhere. This is actually
a huge
signing. This is top three center backs in the world kind of thing.
I thought he was the best.
Yeah, sure. I just don't want
to
push it. I'm just saying, you know, everyone can agree at least.
My question, and maybe you guys talk, my question is how, and was there any real, did anyone shine a light on why he went to Milan
it's
and no one else came after
him?
Well, so he fell out with Allegri during the season. There was a thing in the Champions League final, etc. And he wanted to stay in Italy, essentially.
Yeah.
His family's there. His son has been having health issues, so they wanted to stay around there. And I guess Milan are probably the only club that can afford him in Italy.
Okay.
Yeah.
At the moment.
So they signed him, which is a fantastic signing. Now, rumors are starting around one more big signing, either a Belotti, an Aubameyang. Like there's still stuff going on in the back end. I mean, who
I
should really challenge Juve? This is, I mean, Napoli, if they keep their squad.
100%.
Because, you know, there's no, obviously, Shana Hokolo.
Hakan Chalka.
Yeah. Yeah, he also signed. But the idea is, like, should they be the top challenge to Juve? You still think Napoli, Roma?
For me, it's Napoli, by far. In fact, I think Napoli, this is Napoli's best chance to win Serie A. Juventus are, they've still got a couple signings to make, but they are, at the moment, weaker than they were last season.
Oh, much weaker.
Yep.
There's the effect of the Champions League final again. Roma are definitely weaker than they were last season. And Milan, you can't just sign a whole new team
right.
and have it work immediately. They'll have some high points, they'll have some low points. It'll take a couple of years, I think. And I think Vincenzo Montella is probably not the manager that will end up leading this Milan team
today. Right. They have some major moves. And the thing about Napoli that's very interesting, based on what Alex said, is they are in a great position without doing anything.
Exactly. Yeah.
They actually have not done a single thing, from what I remember.
They signed one Liga winner.
Yeah.
Adam
and Milic will come back into the squad, while everyone else has actually either lost players, game players, and they've just stayed steady. Mm-hmm. And they're in the best position
right now. Before we move on, another reminder on the Milan thing is a big thing for them is that they did sign Donnarumma to a new contract.
Yeah.
So that's big for them too, because, I mean, the whole saga went on for a bit where he might not sign. And
Raiola magic.
Yeah. Yeah. Premier League?
Sorry, there's a couple more Italian things.
Oh, okay.
I forgot, but they're on the list. Bernardeschi from Fiorentina to Juve.
40 million or something.
35, yeah. He's a good player.
Yeah.
He was great in the under-21s.
Bernardeschi?
Apparently it's Deschi.
Deschi?
Yeah.
In my head, I say...
I know. There you go. DeCilio, Milan to Juve. This is a kind of an odd one. Like, Juve needed to get a right back, obviously. Mm-hmm. They didn't get Danilo. Like,
they don't favor there?
So, I'm not sure. Like, he's quite young. He seems like a pretty good right back. It's odd that Milan would sell him to Juve for 12 million.
Well, I mean, it's odd. There's a lot of odds, though.
By the way, those two teams in particular have a good relationship with each other.
Why?
I don't know what it is, but for instance, there was when Buffon was injured at one point, Milan loaned Abbiati on as a favor.
Ah.
So they have some type of good relationship there.
Fair enough. All right. Yeah. This was all a bit serious. I want to go to something a bit more funny.
West Ham.
let's start with their record signing, shall we? Marko Arnautović, 24 million. Round of applause for the scouting team at West Ham. Well done.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, they've signed a batch of...
Absolutely.
I mean, Alex called them FIFA manager signings. Just like, well, let's see the stats. Let's kind of put them in order of price and let's see who we can get.
It's as if they were watching like classic Premier League matches. Let me run you through this.
Yep.
Marko Arnautović, at least he's currently still a reasonably good player.
Is he?
He's okay for Stoke.
Like one in every four games.
Yes.
Okay. Chicharito Hernandez.
I think that's all right.
That's sure. A great
that's
sure.
All right.
I think that's a good signing.
These two are the killers. Joe Hart.
Oh.
Killer.
And Pablo Zabaleta.
Yes.
Get in.
Wait, come on. On Arbeloa, that is a huge step up.
On Zaza? This is a very standard Sam Allardyce thing to do.
He's not in charge
anymore. Never
mind.
That was like two managers ago.
Yeah, Bilic.
Moving on.
Well, Bilic basically had a really bad season last season. They went for a lot of youth signings recently, and that didn't work, so they went, you know what? Premier League money is way too much. I'm not taking any more risks. Let me just sign players that will hopefully perform like tomorrow.
Okay, so Premier League players will hopefully sign for tomorrow. I get that. Except there does not seem to be a freaking plan. Because Marko Arnautović plays where?
Left side.
On this team.
Left of a three.
Yeah, but Lanzini is still there, I'm assuming. Is Carroll now on the back? So Carroll and Chicharito are going to play, I'm assuming.
Well, they can't play together.
Well,
it's never going to happen.
Big man, little man. Yeah. Very big man, very little man.
Yeah, little man who plays like a big man, and big man who plays like a big man.
Big man who plays like a horse.
Like, I just don't get it. I don't see. Is Arnautović supposed to replace Payet? Like, you're going to get rid of one arrogant jackass for another one? Like, why?
The problem is 25 million today is your starting point.
Forget the money.
It's your starting point.
Forget the money. I wouldn't sign Arnautović for anything.
For me, it's the lack of imagination. It's the lack of any kind of scouting of anyone that isn't right in front of them.
Here's my thing. If you want to sign a crazy person, right, why don't you just sign Ben Arfa at this point?
Huh?
Like, he was available. You could have brought him into the team. Why not?
No.
And he would have been a lot cheaper than that gobshite of Arnautović.
But he's very expensive when he eats all that food. You know, you got to think of the long run.
Like, this transfer made me angry when I saw it. Straight up.
The problem is, he's okay to watch. Because, again, he has, like, ogres around him in Stoke. So he stands out.
He has some flair,
he has some flair. He has some technical ability. I like that about him. He tries to play football.
He's a wannabe Zlatan.
Yes.
Well, they're best
Thank
friends
you.
Or something.
Thank
just
you.
Just their mates.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a compliment to him.
Sure. I mean, except for the knee bit or whatever. But other than that, like, I think he's not a bad player, but 25 million, like, I don't know.
He's just not the right... For me, he's not the right player for that team after the shambles of last season.
He's not someone that is going to improve their position in the league.
No.
He's just simply not going to make any
when
difference.
Where does Andre Ayew play in that team anyway?
On the bench.
That was another
God knows.
Terrible
he's pretty
signing.
Unreliable.
Horrendous signing.
Yeah.
All right. While we're on Stoke, Kurt Zouma on loan.
I mean,
good deal.
This was signing. The most Chelsea thing in the universe. Kurzuma literally signed the piece of paper to extend this contract at Chelsea, and right next to it, on the second page, he flipped it over and it was Stokes' loan paper. He signed it both in there. I was like, all right.
He pressed it so hard it went through both contracts.
The only thing that made this like not a standard Chelsea thing is that he's actually played for them before.
Yes. Sorry, Rudy, you brought this to light. The longest serving Chelsea player ever is like 9 years or something now, and he's never played a single game for them. A minute.
I think it's Kalas or...
Apparently Kalas has played for them.
His first game is going to be his testimonial.
Is it Christensen?
I think it is Christensen.
Anyway, it doesn't matter.
But it's just, Kurzu, like they brought in Rudiger and then said bye.
Yeah.
But we're going to keep you anyway.
Well, remember when we were discussing at the end of last season, well, Zuma's back from injury. Is Azpilicueta going to come back in the middle? Is he going to play out wide? Is Azpilicueta going to make the bench? And we just kept discussing all of this, and then all of a sudden, bam, not even a factor anymore. He's gone. Like, who's going to play? Rudiger, Luis, and Azpilicueta? Or is Cahill? Like, who's going to play in the back
so
three?
I asked this question to Chelsea fans on Twitter, and they, most of them said, as Pilicreta goes right, Rudiger goes into the middle, Moses drops to the bench.
Really?
I'm not convinced that that's true. But
that's what I said in the last season.
Actually, that's not what you said. Because what you said was that Marcus Alonso would not make it and as Pilicreta would play on the left.
But once Kurzuma came into the
but that's not what you said.
I said as Pilicreta is going to play right wing back.
Help me. Help me, Rishan.
Help, SOS, what?
Nothing.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's not what you said.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. No. Don't listen to Mahana.
Wow. All right. Meanwhile, last thing on Stoke ever, Glenn Whelan's gone to Aston Villa. I'll kind of miss him a bit.
Al-Muhammadi went to Aston Villa.
Ah, good for him. He likes being with Steve Bruce.
I'm more excited about the Christopher Samba trial at Aston Villa.
Wait, tell me about this.
He's on trial at Aston Villa.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to say.
That's amazing. I think there was a trial game. It was like Samba and some other
Samba and Terry started the game.
Samba Terry. Yeah. Seriously, this is 2007.
Alright, West Ham are going to sign them both next season.
Yeah.
Alright, let's end this with Alvaro Morata. 58 million to Chelsea. They had to get someone.
I mean, that's the thing. Question, why is Aubameyang not in the conversations for all these people who need strikers?
Because he only wants Real Madrid, son.
That's not happening.
Okay, there are two reasons. For Chelsea, he doesn't play. He's not a back-to-goal type striker. He's a run-to-the-channel type of guy. Doesn't fit what they want to do. Other teams are like, well, this guy's a disciplinary headache. Remember, he went to Milan while he was supposed to be in Dortmund, partied, got in trouble with Tuchel, that type of thing. And he's 28. Are you going to pay 80 million to Dortmund for a 28-year-old?
They paid 80 million or whatever in total for Morata, whatever it is. 69,
he's 24.
70, and he scored like 40 goals in his entire life.
Yes. I don't believe Morata is worth that money. But again, like we already alluded to, is nothing.
It's 2 million a goal so far in his career. Like,
sure. But he's also made dramatic developments in last season or two in terms of his like minutes to goals ratio. It's actually outstanding. And we've all watched Morata play. We all know he's a very good player. There are question marks.
Is he better than Costa?
No, I don't think at the moment he is better than Costa.
I think he has more tools like to his game than Costa. But obviously, it's like you said, you look at the proof of the player. And the proof of the player is Diego Costa scored more goals than more in his career. Morata hasn't had the chance to do it yet. And that's my issue with this, is that you're paying that money to hope that someone can do it, as opposed to buying the proven thing, which is what I think Chelsea needed.
Well, let's remember, this is the end of a long romance. I mean, Conte brought him in at Juve and ended up not having the chance to manage him because he left.
Yeah. But I mean, this season there's going to be a lot of new strikers. Lukaku moved to Madrid. Lukaku moved to United. That's going to be a big one to watch and see how he does. Because we've always talked about Lukaku needs to make the step up. Whether it was Chelsea or United, whatever it was, just make it and see how you do. Lacazette at Arsenal is also new in the league. You've got Gabriel Jesus coming in, trying to also claim his spot. Morata, Aguero.
Hey man, after his two goals against Arsenal, Batshuayi is a new signing.
You never know, man. I mean, some Chelsea fans online were like, well, just give Batshuayi, before the Morata thing, just give Batshuayi a season, see what happens. But obviously, you know, there's too much money in the game to take that risk, but it would have been cool.
Is he more of a risk than Morata? I love Morata. I'm just asking the question. Is he more of a risk than Morata, considering he's been in your team and understands how you play and your players and all that stuff?
I think you combine the two of them and you have one solid striker.
play a 3-5-2, both of them up front.
That would be fun. That would be fun.
Barca and Madrid and stuff, we haven't talked about them really quickly. I mean, Neymar rumors, obviously. We talked about it in our last throwdown, whether he's going to go or not. Apparently, today is final. He's not going. Piqué posted a thing with him and Neymar confirming that he's going to stay.
Piqué is basically Barcelona's communication
but
department.
But this thing, Piqué is president.
Confirming in what sense?
He's staying.
What I mean is, did Neymar say he doesn't want to go? Because PSG, it's a release clause. We know that. If they trigger it, then it's up to Neymar to say if he wants to go or not.
So,
is Neymar the one
the
saying he doesn't want
to go? Alluded to the fact that Neymar knew this post was going out through Piqué and like he's staying. So like that... Again, have you seen his goals in the friendly? Ooh,
he was he was on fire.
Anyway, so there's that. Barca have no... they bought the new right back from Benfica.
Semedo.
So apparently he's really good. Apparently. We'll
sure.
see.
He should be.
That's really the only thing they've done.
Here's what I want to know from all of you. Round table. If you're Neymar, what are you doing?
I stay.
You stay?
Yeah.
Okay. For you turn down 500k a week.
Well, how much are they giving him? 300?
Right now he's on what? 275, 300? Would you turn down 500k a week?
Here's the thing.
A little for a bit more because he will get once Messi leaves.
Exactly.
That money's going to get
Messi will
to
not
move.
Leave.
No.
Messi's there till he's 35.
Okay. Messi aside, what happens is if PSG activate the release clause, Neymar goes, "Right, well, let's have a conversation because I might as well." PSG goes, "Right, here's 500k a week." Neymar goes back to Barcelona. They're offering me 500k a week. He'll get it either way.
He'll get 350, whatever.
500k a week, doesn't that make him the most highly paid player
sure.
in the world?
But,
Barcelona will not make him a higher paid player
but
over Leo Messi.
He will get it in a season or two. He'll still make it. Just I think it's a bit early now. Like, stay with Barca a bit. It's a glamour. It's the headlines. Play with Messi.
I agree in that you stay with Barcelona because there's the potential to do great things and whatever else. But the fact of the matter is, he will not get that money in the next 3-4 years at Barcelona.
No,
if Lionel Messi is still there, Lionel Messi has to be the highest paid player at Barcelona.
My only issue is, if he does stay and Barca give him a new contract, let's say they compromise, whatever, 400k, let's say, okay?
That poor bastard.
The problem is, the new release clause is going to be astronomical. He's not going anywhere.
Okay, so let me ask the question.
Like 222 wasn't astronomical.
Let me ask this question. If you're Barcelona, what are you doing?
Oh, you keep Neymar, man.
I'm sounding it.
100% keep Neymar.
I'm sounding
it. Nah,
220
Neymar
million?
Neymar is the best player in the world once Messi and Cristiano finally leave.
That's a long ass time. Listen, sell the dude and bring in Kylian Mbappe, bring in Dembele, bring in all of them. Bring in all of them.
Verratti would be great.
I think there's an argument for if you manage to spend that money on like Verratti and Dembele or Verratti and Mbappe, that fair enough. Like,
you don't need Neymar at that point.
Look, we are underestimating Neymar just because he's not Messi Cristiano.
No. I think he's a brilliant player. I'm just saying, at 222 million, you sell him and then you make your team
Neymar
better. That's the fact.
Neymar is Cristiano right now. That's it.
What are you talking about?
Like, he is that
they're
guy.
Johanna just went really existential.
What I mean is that you do not make the same argument for Ronaldo.
What?
When Ronaldo...
222 million?
No, not today.
I sell him?
Obviously, like, in his prime slash getting into his prime. You don't say the same thing. We're just underestimating Neymar. Neymar is the exact same. You do not sell Ronaldo for 222 million. You don't sell Neymar either.
No.
He's
no,
that good.
Because Cristiano Ronaldo is the leader of the team, the biggest marketing sensation on the team. He's everything to the team. Neymar is replaceable at Barcelona.
No.
You know, Messi is not replaceable.
That's what I'm saying by underestimating him. Messi in 2 years will be gone.
Again.
And Neymar will be the man.
Well, the point that you're trying to make is that Neymar will be that guy in 2 years.
Yes.
Not now. Yes. I'm saying right now, Kylian Mbappe could be exactly that. So why not get rid of Neymar and bring in Mbappe, who could be the biggest sensation in the last
I mean, the biggest advantage of that was it would really piss off Real Madrid.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? He moves to PSG and in like 3 seasons he's at Madrid. Like, it's very possible.
Eh.
Very possible.
As long as Lionel Messi is alive, Neymar is second fiddle, you bring in someone else to be second fiddle.
Second fiddle to Messi is not a bad place to
it's
be.
It's not a bad place at all, but he doesn't want that, really. He really doesn't want that.
I know, man. Anyways.
Can he even play the fiddle?
What are Madrid doing? They signed a few left-backs.
They signed Theo Hernandez.
Yeah.
Who couldn't do 6 keep-ups in his...
And then almost his career ended by Lindelof today.
Yeah.
They released James on loan to Bayern.
Yeah.
It's pretty much... They kept Benzema. That's big. Every season you've got to be kept Benzema. That's one.
Check.
Yeah. I think Benzema is now to Real Madrid what Hamsic is to Napoli.
Yeah. Right, that's it. Something's going on.
Yeah.
He has nudes of Paris is like bar or something.
Yeah.
Something's going on there.
Although he got off on the Valbuena thing. I mean, on a couple of levels.
Yeah.
What was the other thing? Damn it, there was another thing.
What, for who?
Oh, Ceballos. They got the kid.
Apparently, isn't there big rumors about some... I mean, I'm just going to be very vague here. There's big rumors about them signing this guy. I don't know who it was anymore, but some center mid young guy.
I have no idea who you're talking about.
But they're not doing as much business Barca and Madrid as we
expect.
No, sure. But as expected, Madrid are doing this like sensible thing recently, which is insane. People love Perez again. He's doing the right thing. They have two Champions Leagues in three. Ronaldo's happy. Everybody's great. Like,
Junior,
Isco's playing again.
Junior Vicious on the books.
I mean, I forgot about him, Junior Vicious, too. Like, I mean, he's going to be...
absolutely be outstanding.
Yeah,
right.
But yeah,
did you just call him Junior McChicken?
I did. Junior Chicken. I think he's gonna be a shit.
Is there any other big, huge transfers we're forgetting about? Is that it?
Set two.
I think that's nothing.
In
it's
PSG
just
yet.
It's just right now. Neymar watch. Alexis Sanchez watch.
Oh, Alexis Sanchez is a big one.
That big hit I watch. The most horrendous.
Coutinho a little bit watch. I mean, if Neymar leaves, it just creates a lot of headaches for a lot of other teams. It creates headaches for PSG with Verratti, Coutinho with Liverpool,
Monaco,
etc.
Ross Barkley watches.
Jack Wilshere watch.
Yeah.
Actually,
Spurs haven't done anything.
Jack Wilshere watch is easy because he can't move.
Spurs haven't done anything yet. I mean, yes, do they need to? Maybe not. But Champions League next year, that's a whole different game. Like, maybe you should sign a few guys.
Well,
no?
they just played PSG in a friendly and they won 4-2, but the two goals that PSG scored were all in the right from the right back area. And it's like, Trippier and Kyle Walker-Peters might not be the solution there. We'll see.
True.
I just think they need a better backup striker. And I don't
Kyle
know.
Walker?
There aren't that many options, I
Kyle
guess.
Kyle Walker-Peters.
Yeah. Sorry to go over the plays, but Liverpool signed Salah. Let's not forget about
that.
He's looked good.
That was months ago.
Sure, but he scored... We haven't parted since, probably. He scored two really good goals in the friendly so far. He's looking good.
Does
Liverpool
he start?
Fans are... Does he start?
Because there were a lot of people who were saying that he's like when he first signed that he wasn't going to start.
Firmino, false 9, Mane, Salah on the wings, Coutinho number 10,
Ronaldo. I'm happy with that.
Are very excited about Salah. And
they always are excited about everybody.
It's their year, mate.
They just signed, I think, Robertson from Hull.
Yeah, right back.
Yeah.
Left back.
Rubbish signing.
Milner-Robertson. I don't know, man. Anyways, it's a
three-way battle between Milner-Robertson and
Moreno.
None of whom are actually left backs.
Okay, just to say, Liverpool will probably do it decently this season because of Klopp. But I just feel there is a level that you should be trying to aspire to, and I don't think they are actually trying to aspire to that.
Well, Klopp is having a lot of trouble signing people he actually wants for whatever reason. Apparently, he's very frustrated.
Sure.
He can't get the people he wants.
On the one hand, you can't have a go at them for spending a bunch of money on Naby Keita and then also have a go at them for not trying to be ambitious. I mean, there are only so many players that Liverpool... There's probably 10 players in Europe that might improve Liverpool's team that they can realistically get.
See, here's the thing, Alex. All right? Naby Keita is not an ambitious signing. It's dumb as fuck.
I fully agree. Honey, you've never seen him play.
Alex, exactly my point. From before.
Look, they have.
And so has every other club in Europe, and they decided not to do this dumbass deal.
It's hard to sign players when you're busy drafting apology letters to every club under the sun.
80 million?
Have you seen the whole thing? Have you seen the whole thing where Monaco are apparently going to report City and PSG for tapping up Mbappe? And Liverpool, just in case, are also drafting a letter.
In a world where Virgil van Dijk is apparently going to go to Liverpool for 60 million.
Oh, yeah.
And navigate for 66 million. Yeah. We think everything is good. Oh, my Lord.
Can we agree on Kylian Mbappe?
I like that.
Thanks.
Thank you for downloading the KoshCast. Get in touch at underthekoshblog@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at under_thekosh. And for articles, predictions, and the full experience, go to underthekoshblog.com.